And today we're continuing on in our series, or finishing our series called Breaking Bad. And I really hope that this has been a series that has helped you, encouraged you. This is our third and final week in this. And next week, I'm going to speak in a message on moments and the power of moments and making moments. And really, our church is just not even 4 months old, just over 3 months old. And we've seen God do some things that are just incredible in our short journey. But I believe that momentum and making a difference is the culmination and a buildup of a series of moments. And we each have moments in our life that build towards where we are now. And so I'm going to be looking next week at the moments in our church that have brought us to where we are and where we're going, and then moments in our life that have brought us to where we are, created us who to be, and then how we can continue to make moments and powerful moments in our life that will build momentum in us and make a difference not only in us, but the people we are surrounded with. So I encourage you to come along next week to that. But today we're just finishing up in our series looking at breaking bad mindsets, thought processes. A mindset is simply an established set of attitudes that we adopt, thinking patterns, thought processes that each of us adopt in our lives that we need to break off, that we can break off those things that we can truly be who God is calling us to be and where He is calling us to go. And today we're looking at Joshua, the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. Of course, the scripture is going to be on the screen. And you can turn with me there in your Bibles now. And we're studying this scripture. We have been doing so, looking at three mindsets. In the first week, we looked at what once was versus what is now. That's the first mindset we're breaking off. Last week, we looked at what you had versus what you have. And if you missed out any of those weeks, you can go onto our podcast, Open Arms Church, and any podcast platform. And this week also, we made a YouTube video calling it Beyond the Sermon, just a 10-minute conversation, looking at talking about and the practical applications of the word from Sunday. And so I encourage you to go along. That's something that we just tried out and went well. But I'm excited about this message in particular. And I'm looking forward to what God is going to say to us today. But verse 1, let's start off there. First one says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide. Now, the book of Joshua is the sixth book in the Bible in the Old Testament. And I love the Old Testament because many people say, well, why read the Old Testament? That's the Old Covenant. Why can't we just read the New Testament? Because that's more about today. But when you read through the Old Testament, do you know what the Old Testament is all about? It's all about Jesus. It's all about leading up to the moment in which Jesus enters the world, and then that moment in which Jesus changed the world, and how the life that we are to live and the church that we are to be and the Christians that He's calling us to be. So what I love about the book of Joshua, it is a foreshadowing, as Joshua means the Lord saves, a foreshadowing of Jesus who is to come, who truly saves me and you through dying on the cross, being raised from the grave, and now He's living in us. And when we start a relationship with Him, we are truly saved. And what we see here is it introduces us to two characters. Firstly, Moses and then Joshua. Moses was famously depicted in the book of Exodus, or the movie Exodus, if you've seen it. And, the Israelites were in captivity for 400 years in Egypt. Moses freed them from slavery, famously went through the cross through the Red Sea. And now here they are as a nation at the beginning of a journey where they would enter into the promised land. They were a nation that had no land. They had no home. And they were about to enter into the home to which God was calling them to. And so Moses represents the old generation, and Joshua represents the next generation, as they were rising up as a people to take the land, the promised land in which God has for them. And I believe that this is also so important for us as a church, that we live in a land today where the old generation is passing away, where the old church and the church and state, the established church, is began to crumble and fall, but there's a new church rising up. A new church that's not driven by religion, but it's driven by a relationship with Jesus Christ. That it's not about what you are against, but it's rather what you are for. It's not about what you do's and don'ts, but who God is calling you to be and the person, the man and woman who he's created you to be. And this is exciting as we rise up as the church that God has truly called us to be. And so in verse 2, God speaks to Joshua and he says, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then." Now is calling. Leave what was, step into now. You and all these people, get ready, because it's going to be difficult. It's going to require preparation, perspiration, perseverance. It's going to require a desire and a determination to get there. He says, get ready to cross over old mindsets and step into new thinking. Get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. The Jordan River here represents the obstacles in which they faced to get to where God was calling them to. For each and every one of us, the Jordan River represents the mindsets and the obstacles that hinder us, that are barriers from us truly stepping into what God has for us and who he's calling us to be. In verse 3, it says, "I will give you every place where you set your foot as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west." And here's verse 5 that we're looking at today. "No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you." Amen. The title of my message today is "What Can Be Versus What Will Be." What will be? You know, so many of us live our lives in a mindset worrying about what can happen. And this can happen, and this can happen. We're weighing up the situations and the circumstances in order to see the result of what can or cannot be, while we're missing out on what God says will be. And just as God is calling Joshua to cross over the Jordan River, I believe that God's calling us to cross over these mindsets of what will be, what can be, to step into what will be. So let's just pray. Lord, we love you. And Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word can encourage us, can lift us up. And I pray right now, God, as the Spirit of the Lord is upon us, I pray that you anoint me to preach your word. I pray, God, that we would hear from you, that you would give us revelation, and that you would encourage us to truly have faith in what you say will be in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So in this moment, Joshua, he's getting ready. He's preparing himself to set foot on the land in which God is calling him to. And it's going to require every ounce of energy. It's going to be a fight. It's going to be difficult. And it requires him to hold off or to break off any mindset that may cause doubt or even confusion if God is in this and God is calling him to it. And why I believe it's so important for us as each and every one of us that when we're going to truly apply God's word to our life and step out in who he's creating us to be and who he's calling us to be, it requires us to break off those things that cause doubt, insecurity, and confusion. It's like, is this God? Is God with me? Is he truly with me? Is he for me? Has he gone ahead of me? And just as Joshua is preparing himself to enter into the promised land, we need to prepare ourselves. And in this scripture that we just read, God gives Joshua three promises or three assurances of what will be. And in theology, there are two practices. They're called hermeneutics and homiletics. And hermeneutics is just a fancy word for saying interpreting the Bible. So then when we read the Bible, we interpret it in such a way where we're asking the question, where we look at the context of the day, the character who is involved, the situation that is described, and the audience in which it was intended for. So hermeneutics is looking at what did this scripture mean? What does this verse mean for Joshua in this day, in the situation in which he is? And then homiletics is simply communicating the Bible. And it's asking this question, what does it mean for us today? And so when we're reading the Bible and we're studying scripture, it's so important that we ask the question, what did this mean in the context in which God was speaking to Joshua in that moment, in that situation, as he was, what he was facing, what he was going through, helps us to answer the question, what does this mean for us today? The Bible has been often described as irrelevant, you know, an old thing that doesn't really mean much. And often it's because we're reading it the wrong way. The Bible is full of timeless truths, and it's full of so much truth for us that when we read it and we interpret it in such a way, we're diving deep into what God was saying in that moment and to what God is saying in this moment. It helps us to see what God can say to us in every different season and situation and circumstance in our life. And right now, you may be going through something where you need to hear God. You need him to speak to you. And I'm praying that as we read this and as we look at this, that we're seeing what was God saying to Joshua in that moment and what's he saying to us today. The same promises in which he gave Joshua, I believe, are the same promises that he's given to us this morning. So I want to share with you three promises that God gives us. And firstly, God promises us his power. He promises us his power. It's through his power that he protects us. Through his power that he protects us. He begins by saying, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. He says, no one. Some translations describes it, no man. But no one is a better description because he's not talking about, he's saying neither man nor spirit can come against you. You know, we often break up our lives as human beings into three categories, body, spirit, and mind. And we all can fall into being able to, especially as Christians, that we're okay with God looking after us physically. We're okay with God protecting us spiritually. But we struggle when asking God to help us mentally. And here he's saying that no one, whether physically, spiritually, or mentally, that God will give us the power to protect us and to protect our minds, to protect our thinking, to protect our thinking patterns and thought processes, no one will be able. He says here he's promising that his power has gone before us and the strength of his power diffuses the ability of anyone to harm us. His power debilitates any harm that may come against us. His power will debilitate anyone, neither man nor spirit, in our physical, spiritual, and mental. No one will be able to stand against you. That anyone or anything that aims to restrict you, to prevent you, to hold you back or to keep you pressed down. One translation says to oppose you. That you will face opposition, but that opposition will not overcome you. Because you will face opposition in your life. Anyone testify to that? You will face it. But believing that God says, no one will be able to oppose me. Though I may face opposition, my opposition will not overcome me. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life, from now until evermore, in the good days and in the bad days, in the days you fail and the days you succeed, in the days that you feel he's with them and you feel he's abandoned you, in the days where you don't feel strong or confident or weak, in the days that you feel that you're wavering, you're insecure, that this isn't working, God is for you. He says, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. No one, no thing, whether physically, spiritually, mentally, will be, that's a promise from God, if this is what will be able to stand against you because his promise is there to protect you all the days of your life. Amen. God promises us his power. Secondly, God promises us his presence. And it's through his presence that he positions us. He says to Joshua, he says, As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. He says, I was with. He's talking in the past tense. He uses the evidence of his presence in our past to secure us and position us securely in our present. He uses the evidence of his presence in our past to secure us and position us in our present for today and into our tomorrow. That as we look back in yesterday and we begin to see his presence working in our life, it gives us confidence for today. As we look back and see how God held me then, that he didn't he let no harm come against me, that no one was able to stand against me or oppose me. Though I may have felt down and out, though I may have felt like I was overcome, God was for me, and therefore, as he was with me, he is with me, and he will be with me, for he's the Lord of our past and the Lord of our future. He's the Lord of our yesterday and the Lord of our tomorrow. He's the Lord of our failures and the Lord of our successes. He's the Lord of our mistakes and of our achievements. He's the Lord of yesterday, today, and forever. Stepping into our promises starts with living our lives with our backs to the past, being rooted in our present, and looking toward our future. That as I was with Moses, he says, so I will be with you. So in the English grammar is a conjunction. It's a connection. As I was with Moses, so the connection, I will be with you. In the Living Bible, it says, I will be with you just as I was with Moses. This is important for us as Christians in the 21st century where God is saying, as I was with Moses, and as I was with Joshua, and as I was with the men and women of our faith, I will be with you. This is a promise from him that his presence is with us. His presence was before us, his presence is behind us, and his presence is beside us. He says, I will be with you. That he's not just ahead of you. He's not just behind you, but he's beside you. He's with you. And he will lead you into what will be. He will guide you to step into his promise for your life. And his presence will position you and continually reposition you to where you are. And this is the truth that we can take from this. You may have experienced lack, and he will lead you towards abundance. You may have experienced grief and sadness, and he will lead you towards joy and peace. You may have experienced things in your life and sin and shame and guilt, and he will lead you to a place of forgiveness and wholeness and salvation. That's what God does. He's not just the God of our past and the God of our tomorrow. He's the God of our today. He says, I will be with you. That his presence is here to prepare us into tomorrow. That sometimes we need to cut off the past of what was, what you had, and believe that in today, God says this will be. That he promises me his power. He promises me his presence. And finally, he promises us his provision. He promises us his provision. It's through his provision that he prepares us. It's through his provision that he prepares us. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never. This is his assurance that I will never, ever, not once, not if you do this or if you don't do this, not the days where you failed, not the days where you gave up. He says, I will never. His provision for us is eternal. And it prepares within us a faith that is built on assurance that he says, I will provide for you every day of your life. This is something that we can hold on to, that God's provision, and no matter what place we find ourselves in, no matter what feelings and thoughts that we're going through, he says, I will never, ever leave you. I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. I will never give up on you. I will never forsake you. I will never renounce you. He says, I will never leave you. Other translation says, I will never fail you. That even though you may have failed him in your past, God will never fail you in your future. That even though you may want to give up and you might want to stop, he will never fail you. He never stops loving you. You know, just this week, as it felt like, I don't know about you or what you go through, but you ever feel like sometimes it can be tough? You ever feel like times it can be like, what's going on? Is this working that you're trudging through life? I know at times it can feel like you want to give up. At times feel like you want to stop. And God says that I will never fail you. I will never leave you. And that what that does for me is that I can give up. I can fail. You know, the gospel of grace is the gospel of failure. Because each and every one of us fail. I'm going to fail today, and I'm going to fail tomorrow, and I'm probably going to fail every single day of my life. But no matter how much I fail, God's grace is there every single day. He wipes up my messes. He covers up my mistakes, and he's there with me. And that's the gospel of grace. That's the gospel of the good news. That often, many of us, when we hit that rock bottom and we can't do anything else, we can't live our lives that we've failed us, that's when we turn to him. He says, I will never fail you. He says, I will never forsake you. I don't know about you, but this is a word that I've heard many times. You know, one of those biblical words that you say and you quote the scripture, but you don't really know what it means, you know? It's like hallelujah. I've met people say hallelujah. They don't even know what it means. It's just, you know, it's just one of those things you say. And, you know, it's, I believe God that you'll never forsake me, but I don't know what it means, but, you know, I'm okay with it. To forsake in the translation is that God will never renounce you. God will never give up on you. The Message translation says, God simply says, I won't give up on you. I won't give up on you when times are tough. I won't give up on you when you go through trials and tribulations. I won't give up on you when your faith is being tested and you're suffering greatly and you're feeling like you're feeling alone and abandoned. You're feeling disappointed. He says, I won't give up on you. I won't forsake you. But I will be with you. I will be with you all the days of your life. And Joshua, these words, he had to take hold of God's promises. He had to take hold of God's power. He had to take hold of his provision. But more importantly, he had to take hold of his presence. And that's my favorite thing about this scripture. That even though he says, no one will be against me, that even though he says, I've ordained every step that you take, he says, I will be with you, that I will guide you, that I'm not just calling you to somewhere, but I'm going to lead you to get there. That he's got a calling on your life. He's got a calling for my life. He's got a calling on us as a church. But he's not just calling us to it and then he leaves us to get there. But he walks with us. He's with us, step by step. Little by little. Last week we talked about it where he says to Joshua, I have given it to you. I have given you everywhere where you set your foot. That I will be with you as you set your foot. That I will be with you as you take that stand. That I will be with you as you step out. That I will be with you every single day. That even when you don't feel like it. Can I tell you, there's times where I don't feel like preaching. There's times where I feel like I'll just give a pass this week. I'll do a download on sermons.com and bring it this week, or Jillian, my wife, will write the sermon for me. And you know, we can so be so fickle sometimes where we're led by our feelings. But are we going to be led by our faith? That even though I may not feel like it, I'm going to do it anyway. Even though I may not feel like God is with me, I'm going to believe he's with me. I'm going to believe he's for me. Even though I may feel alone and abandoned, I believe that God is here. He's here right now. Jesus is here. He's with you in this hotel room. On the 17th of June, 2018, he's here. Jesus is here. He's with you. And that's the church that we want to be. We want to be a church that's all about Jesus. We want to be a church that believes that God is here. Right now, he's not just the God of yesterday. He's not just the God of my past, nor is he just the God of my future, the God of my tomorrow. Because as Christians, we can so get so caught up in talking about plans and purposes that we forget about the present. That his plans and purposes aren't for tomorrow, his plans and purposes are for today. That we serve a God of today, right now. What if what God was calling you to was not in the distant future, but it's to today? What if those things that you convince yourself in your mind, well, I'll start being that person when I get this sorted. I'll start doing those things when I get to it, when I grow into it. What if God is calling you to do it today, now? Because I will be with you. As I was with Moses, as I was there in your past, I will be there in your future. But more importantly, I will be with you now. You may not feel it, but God is with you. He is for you. He hears you. He's listening to you. He comforts you. He protects you all the days of your life. And I want to encourage you today, you may not feel like it. Would you decide to place your faith in Jesus Christ? Place your faith that God is with you. In this series that we're looking at, Breaking Bad Mindsets, you know, often it's not about just us going and doing something, but it's us surrendering. Say, God, I can't do this. Will you be with me? Will you lead me there? You know, it's incredible, but this, the context of where Joshua was, this was just the beginning of his journey. And we read throughout the book of Joshua and we see when he gets to Jericho and God's calling him to walk around the walls of Jericho again and again, 6 times, and on the 7th day, 7 times, and the walls come tumbling down. But God wasn't calling him just to go and to walk around the walls. He says, I'm going to walk them with you, that I will be with you. That each and every one of us, is God is calling you to break off those things in your life, break off those thoughts. He's not calling you just to go and do something. He says, I'm going to be with you. I'm believing that as you do it again and again and again, as those words that we just sang, the walls will come crumbling down. The thoughts that are in our mind, the insecurities that we have, as we truly trust and obey in God, as we keep walking and we keep circling and we keep believing in faith, the walls come crumbling down. The mindsets come crumbling down. And new biblical mindsets formed on the Word of God can be formed in our minds and in our lives. Ask yourself the question today, what do I need to believe that God is with me now and he says will be? That he says what will be. That his promise wasn't just for Moses and Joshua. His promise is not just for Sean Booth. His promise is not just for some person who looks like they have it all together. His promise is for me now, in this time, for this moment. His promise is for now. For now is the time. And as the Israelites, they had this moment where they could choose to cross over, or they could choose to stay where they were. They could choose to set up camp and say, we'll take this land. We'll take this plot of land. When it said God was calling them to cross over, cross through the river to get to where they were going to go. Now here's a thought for us. Was there anything special about the land? Was there anything special about the grass that he was calling them to? For was it not just the same land and the piece of dirt and muck that was there in which the feet was where they were? What was so important that God was calling them to cross through something, cross over something for them to get there? Maybe God was calling them to fight for what he was giving them. Maybe God was calling them to conquer to which where he was calling them to. Maybe what God was calling them to was a journey, not just a destination. Maybe to what he was calling them to, that they would learn along the journey, that what they have, God has given it to them, but they didn't get it without a fight. They didn't get it without working hard, being diligent, preparing themselves day after day after day. So many of us give up so easily. But what God has for you is not just in the destination to where he's calling you to, but it is the journey in which he's leading you in. The journey in which he's bringing you to. That the men and women that you rub shoulders with, that the experiences that you have, the mistakes that you make, the sins that you commit, they'll all be, as you bring it back to him and you allow him to fill you with his grace and his forgiveness, as you bring your sin, you bring your mistakes, you bring everything to him, that he uses that for his purpose. For God uses all things together for his good. But maybe right now you're in the journey. Your feet are deep in muck and you're feeling like, is this it? Is this where I'm to be? Maybe God's calling you just to trust him in the journey. That it's not about the destination, the day in which you will get, that you will truly be the person in which God's called you to be. But maybe it's about being the man or the woman that he's called you to be now, in this moment, believing that even in the journey, God's with me. Because to get to where I am today, for me and my family to get to where we are, to see this church established, it has been a journey. But if I didn't go through that, I wouldn't be here. If I didn't look back and see how God walked with me as I was with you, as his presence was in my past, that gives me confidence that he's with me in my present. And he secures me. And he holds me. Would you just close your eyes right now? What journey are you going through this morning? Maybe you're not sensing or feeling any joy in your journey. Maybe you're just feeling like you want to give up. You're feeling like your fears and your feelings are just consuming you and conquering you rather than you conquering them. Maybe you're feeling the opposition that you're facing is overcoming you. Maybe you don't feel God's power to protect you or his provision to position you or his provision to prepare you. Maybe you're just feeling like, I want to give up. Or maybe you're just feeling like, I want to switch off. I want to switch off. Right now in this place, I believe that God, as he's right here in this place, that he says to you, it's okay. You can give up. You can switch off. But know that I will never leave you nor forsake you. And as I was there in the moment in which you were born, the moment throughout your life, I am here right now. And I will be with you all the days of your life. This is my promise. Right now, with everyone's head bowed and eyes closed, I know there's many of you here today and you need to make that first commitment to step into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And when you start that journey with Jesus, it becomes far easier to turn to him rather than turn to yourself, turn to the world, or turn to anything else, knowing that he's for you and he's with you. How do you make that step? Well, Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says, by believing in your heart that Jesus died and was rose again from the dead, believing that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. So right now, with everyone's head bowed and eyes closed, I want to give you an opportunity today to give your life to Jesus, to take that first step and make a commitment with him. What I'm going to do is just going to count to three. At the end of the count of three, those of you who say, oh, this is it. I want to step into a relationship with Jesus, start my journey again, restart this life with him. I'm going to ask that you to raise up your hand high as a sign of surrender. So just in this moment, no one else is looking. It's between you and him. Prepare yourself to surrender your life. After one, two, three, just raise your hand and where you are. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else this morning, just raise your hand and say, that's it. I want to give my life to him. Actually, you may put down your hand. I'm going to ask everyone in the room, if we just pray this prayer after me, to say, Jesus, I want to receive the gift of eternal life with you. I give up and I need you. Will you lead me? Will you be with me? I choose to follow you. I believe that I am forgiven. I am set free, and by your grace, I am saved. In Jesus' name, amen.